You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Al, here's your turn. Hit it.
Yeehaw!
Hey, hello, everybody. Welcome. It's Dave's Corner Garage. And get steady for another... Get ready,
set, go.
For another great show. Today we're going to be joined with Darren Bossens from Sailin' Tires. Yay!
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
He's just sailed in.
Just sailed in. Exactly right. Sailin' Tires have been with us from now, we were just talking about, 4 or 5 years already as a supporter.
So
we appreciate that. And they're really, you know, starting to be a household name. Terry O'Keefe. We all know Terry is from Omvik. And we're going to be talking about some fellow who is stupid.
But is he going to jail for being stupid?
I don't know. I can't figure that out. But this guy apparently has been turning back speedometers longer than I won't go there. But anyways, so we're going to talk about that. James Nielsen is with Track and Traffic magazine, one of the few Canadian publications that is concerned with racing here in Ontario and Canada. And we're going to be talking about the CASOR, which is the Canadian Ontario region of the CSCA. And we're going to be talking about how they're going to cover that event from now on. So interesting stuff. And I just want to remind you that if you go on Facebook, you can watch us. We're there live. We're getting a tremendous amount of traffic. I think over 10,000 hits a month now.
Wow.
So it's really starting to go. Facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage if you want to see us live.
Did you say some guy recognized you at Walmart last week? He said, "Aren't you the guy from Facebook?"
He said, "Aren't you the greeter?" Can I have a pass, please?
Where's the washroom around here?
Yeah, when they ask me where the washroom is, I don't even know what it is. I just tell them the wrong place. Anyways, good stuff. Anyways, we're going to enjoy it. We're going to have a great show. Come back. We're going to be talking with Darren about a new type of tire called Inspire.
Yes.
How do you come up with these names?
You'll have to figure out what inspired him.
That's a good idea.
Yes, I don't come up with the name, so.
No, you don't. He just pushed him.
I just pushed him.
But he's getting nervous. He's going to be perspiring any minute.
I will be. Don't ask tough questions.
All right, on that note, Al, check us out.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. If you've got any kind of automotive question, give us a call right now.
Whoa. And I can't believe this. I dropped my earphones. Alrighty, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. Just a little problem there. I dropped my earphones, but that's fine. we got a new tire coming back from Sailin'. It's called Inspire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this you got to hear. It's a 120K warranty, 60 months warranty against wear on the tread, and it has roadside,
road hazard for the
road hazard.
For a year.
In other words, if you puncture the tire and it's not repairable for that first year, you get a new one for free.
Free replacement.
I mean, how do you get away with this?
Well, we'd hope that there's not a lot of people hitting
get flats.
It's a roll of the dice, really.
No, but in reality, you must really be confident in this product. This must be really something that's special.
Yeah, it's almost like a new generation, I guess, for us. We've had it tested by third parties against Tier 1s, and it's performed at the level or above Tier 1. So we're pretty excited about that. 48 sizes so far.
Wow.
14-inch to 19-inch, and then growing weekly.
So in other words, this may just take you out of what you call third tier and move you up second or first tier.
Well, it's not really, I don't think we really want to go out of tier three, but if we start to get the performances of tier one, which we've always breached it, this one seems to be a little special in respect to the performance to the tier ones. But it's a value. It's the value that we're trying to sell.
And it's quieter. I heard that. I remember somebody's telling me that. Yep. Now, according to the blurb, it has an advanced rubber compound, has an all-new tread pattern, and 3D multi-type technology. What is that all about, multi-type technology?
Well, that just helps with the evacuation. The everything kind of squirms a bit and evacuates the water or anything that you're going over. So it helps
weather.
With traction,
etc. Because one of the problems with, especially on a wider tire, is what they call hydroplaning.
Yes.
You know, where the tire sits on top of the water rather than cut through it. So you have to get rid of the water. That's the challenge here, is to get that tire stuck to the pavement.
Yes.
No, I saw one of your ads. We had it on a Lincoln, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And this car performed like phenomenal.
Yes.
Right? So this is really something. So this is a new tire that you just brought out.
Yep.
It's like last year, I think you brought it out.
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
Right.
And then the sizes have been growing ever since. You know, like I said, we've got 48, but probably we're up into the 50s now as far as sizing, and it'll grow from there.
Interesting. And, you know, we heard about it on television the other day. The name Salen is really starting to get around. I get calls from people going, where do I buy a car? Where do I buy a tire?
Yep.
Right? So you go on the website, salentire.ca.
Yep. Dealer locator.
Yep.
And then from there, you can find your closest dealer.
Okay. Now, one of the emails I got the other day was from a lady who said, how do I know my tire's worn out? What do I do when I go to the tire store? How do I understand that he's not taking me for a ride? Mm-hmm. I need some help in basic understanding about buying a tire.
Definitely. Well, first off, to know when you need new tires, there's wear bars that are in the first void, the first groove of the tire,
mm-hmm.
That goes, you know, goes across that void. And that sits up at 230 seconds. So once your tread meets one of those wear bars, and there's one, there's four across the whole tire.
There's four, okay.
In the quadrants, if you will. Once the tread meets that wear bar, you're basically done. You want to start looking at that point for new tires. As far as knowing whether someone's taking you for a ride or not, most of the dealers are pretty legit now. You're not going to really have too many issues. The best way really is to kind of research online, see what people are saying, you know, look at the reviews. Don't get, you know, there's a lot of different brands out there, so you got to be careful not to get too inundated and confused at what you're looking at. But, you know, just pick a few brands and try to see what the reviews are saying, and that get some knowledge with respect to that, know what size you need, et cetera. But for the most part, most of the guys at the counter are going to help you with regards to that. Tell them your price point or what you want to spend.
I was going to say your price
point. How long you're going to have the car for, what type of driving you do, et cetera, and they'll suit the proper model and brand.
Well, yeah, because it's going to make a difference, especially, you know, a lot of people lease nowadays. So,
correct.
You know, you don't want to put tier one tires for $1 million. And
no.
They call it tier one because you're going to be shedding tears when you hear the price of those tires,
yes,
right?
Yes. And then hand the car back in.
And you're giving it back anyways. Right. Yeah. So in most cases, as long as you meet the speed rating on the tire.
Yep. Correct.
And all four are the same, your leasing company really has no reason to squirm.
No, not unless you're like certain high-end cars may, they sometimes dictate what brand, or it has to be the same brand that it came with type
oh,
of
yeah.
thing, like the higher end cars. But typically, yeah, it doesn't matter as far as, you know, the average car.
I wonder what the beef is there, because, you know, you're turning back a car and your responsibility is that it's sort of certifiable, you know,
correct.
Normal wear and tear.
Yep.
You know, here's the car back. Why do I need to spend all that money when it's none of it? I'm not going to be able to take advantage of any of it.
No, somebody else will.
Now, one of the things that the opposition always says is they're made in China.
Yes.
But that's not actually true, because many of the tier ones are made in China.
Yeah, everybody's manufacturing in China now. We've also got a factory outside of China. So it's not really the place at which or where things are manufactured.
It comes
down to the technology and you know, what's put into the tire. So that's no longer an issue.
Yeah, because even in the car industry, Chevy's selling cars made in China.
Absolutely.
Right? Cars are made in Mexico. Cars are made in Germany. Their cars are made in North America.
People don't realize. I wondered that myself, you know, when the United States president was complaining about stuff coming in from Russia.
Yes.
I wonder if he actually knew how much of his American-made products were just basically assembled with Chinese parts anyways.
I know.
Well, that's just it. They've exported the technology. Now they import the product, and there's a problem.
And do people love their cell phones?
Yeah,
all made in
cell phones.
Where do they think they're made?
Oh, but it says designed in California, but made in China.
Or assembled in the U.S. and parts made in
yeah, exactly right.
Outside of the U.S. So.
Exactly right. So that doesn't make a difference in the origin of the company. It makes a difference that it meets all the DOT requirements.
That's exactly it. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, there's one thing you should know. We always talk about this, but the DOT number.
Yes.
Which is stamped into the side of the tire. You have to look at the DOT number, because the last four digits
are the week and year that the tire is manufactured.
Right. So you could be buying a cheaper tire as a sale, and you find out it's 6 years old.
Potentially, yeah. But like I said, I've put 10-year-old tires on my car before. As long as they're stored properly, there should be no issues. Right?
Yeah, I've never seen a tire blow out and being in my shop anyways, where it's been totally attributed to the age of the tire.
No.
You know, besides, most garages will tell you if it's time for your changeover and they see the sidewalls are terribly cracked.
Yep.
Well, they're going to tell you. Okay.
Sure.
But if a tire looks fine, and as you say, it's stored properly and you got tread, I don't see why you couldn't use it.
No. And some people get a little worried about the warranty, right? Well, typically they go, the warranty, you go by the invoice date. If you don't have an invoice, then you go by the DOT. So if you didn't have that invoice and you went back with 10-year-old DOT,
I see what you're saying.
You'd be, you know, out of luck, basically. But it's as long as you have the invoice, you should be fine. And the amount of tires that are warrantied these days is minimal.
Well, because the amount of flats is so minimal.
Yeah, like you don't see, like, how many flats have you had in the last...
Never. I touch one.
Yeah, I know.
No, I mean, the only...
one in my entire life.
The biggest issue that I see really is just the corrosion on aluminum wheels.
Yes, yeah.
You know, where people will lose air slowly.
Or the valve.
Besides the, yeah, or yeah, the valve, yeah. Sure. And, you know, but because of the tire pressure monitors, everybody sees the light come on, as long as they don't ignore it.
Exactly.
And they go in and get the tires checked. You're going to save it, because the problem is if a tire goes flat quickly and you're driving on it, by the time you're stopped, the tire's done. It's normally not fixable.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah.
Interesting
run
stuff.
Run flat, we call them.
Run flats?
They've been run flat, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the ones where there's no lettering on the side.
You don't want to
put
air into those tires. Yeah, there you go.
You know what? I had a customer and he said, you need to change them because obviously they're defective. I said, do you not find it weird that just the right size of tires and both of them, left side look good, eh?
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Guess what? I didn't get them new tires.
All right, we'll be right back. We've got some phone calls to answer and some more questions for Darren. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage.
Where we rub you the right way.
Oh, I like that. Alrighty, I'm actually got my earphones on this time.
You didn't drop them?
Welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. My name's Dave Redinger. I'm with Darren Bostons from Salem Tire and Alan Gelman from Glen Allen Motors.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I have to tell you, even my wife goes to Glen Allen.
She brings her car to me.
Yep. Ooh. She wants to get rid of the car, but he won't let her.
She says, I know how to take care of her, so I do my best.
Wow.
T-Bar is on the phone. He's from Whitby, and he's got a question about adaptive cruise control and if the brake lights come on when you have adaptive cruise control. Is that right, T-Bar?
That is correct.
Yes.
$64,000 question if you're old enough to remember the show.
I do.
Yes, so I'm sure you do. So do I. Anyway, so if you have a vehicle with adaptive cruise control and the car ahead of you slams its brakes on, I'm told, I haven't driven one of those yet, but I'm told that it actuates the brakes and slows you down real quick, et cetera, et cetera. But does it, what's the right word?
Throw the brake lights on.
Well, but to protect you from somebody rear-ending you because you're slowing down without the brake lights coming out. So is it a yes or no? It depends on the manufacturer.
I would assume that they do come on. I mean, you know, for that simple reason alone that you'd want it to happen. And I know they do work because I've had it go on my own car. Sorry, not my car. I drive the old beater. My wife's car. she has a nice one. It does work. It worked quite well. I mean, you feel the brakes come on in a panic kind of situation.
That's what I've been told. But I've also been told when I started my apprenticeship that don't assume anything because you write out the word assume and you put a slash between the U and the back end of the U. And you know what that spells and makes out of you and me.
You're 100% right, it's funny. It's a great point because, you know, I remember when I worked for Volkswagen, the brake switch was actually on the master cylinder. So when any pressure would be developed, that's what would trigger it. But most cars these days, the actual switch is on the brake pedal. But since you're not operating the pedal, you know, T-Bore, I want to appreciate. Thanks for mentioning that. I'm going to have to look into that myself.
Okay, maybe you can broadcast it on your next show.
All right, will do. Thank you.
Now that brings you to a question.
Bye.
Thank you very much. That brings us to a question. I'm buying tires for that car.
Yep.
I have to buy the same size tires I take off, otherwise I throw everything out of whack?
Not necessarily. Typically, all-wheel drive cars, you want to stick with the same outside diameter.
Right.
So you could essentially go up in rim size, down in profile, and you know, maintain that same OD.
Yeah, there was a big article in the Toronto Star this morning,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about not buying all season tires, but buying summer tires and winter tires.
Right.
So there's an opportunity for you to upgrade the rim or downgrade the rim and increase the tire size.
Right, yeah. Typically, if you're going from your OEs or your summers, all seasons, into winters, typically most people go down a size in the rim. So if you're 19-inch rims, you go down to 18-inch, bigger sidewall, a little more protection when you have potholes, et cetera.
And the price is cheaper.
And the price is typically cheaper.
Yeah.
And yet, you know what? People don't realize they drive around with these skinny tires. They hit a pothole and the rim gets damaged because there's no rubber to take up the jolt.
I had one this winter.
Yeah. I did it a couple winters ago.
Blew it right out.
Just in the last couple of months, I've got two aluminum wheels sitting there and each one represents $1,000.
Yes.
You know, between the wheel, the tire, and then the alignment. And it can be a lot worse than that. I've seen a vehicle where it was written off because of a pothole. Because the drive shaft went through the transmission. It was,
God.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So can happen.
So the word is that when we're going to buy winter tires, we reduce the rim size to get more rubber between us and the pothole.
Typically, yeah. So you don't have to do that, but that's typical. Like, for instance, my tires, I just use the same size tire between all seasons and winters. Hence, I've got very low profile and I've lost some tires and rims due to that. But
yeah, but the other issue there, though, too, is if you're talking about a 40 or a 45 series tire, it's so hard to manhandle that tire to get it off and on the rim.
Yes.
You can damage the bead. You can damage the rim. And typically, you know, steel wheels for a car, you know, your cheap steelies are maybe $75 a piece. So it's not too bad.
I always wondered, why do tires nowadays, our technology, why do we even have to have tires with air in them? I mean, we're so advanced.
Well, they do have tires now with, you know, that don't have air in them. They have like rubber veins in where the air would go to hold the tire up, but you're not going to get the same ride as air.
No. So it doesn't
make a
difference.
Not at that point yet. Yes.
Yeah, already.
Certain segments they use it in.
When you hear that music, that means that we have to leave. When we come back, we're talking to James Nelson from Track and Traffic magazine.
All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
And speaking of Salem Tire, Darren is actually here. So if you've got a question, we have a couple of calls to do, and then we'll take the rest of the questions. So if you're hanging on, please do hang on. We will not leave you hanging. That's three times hanging in one sentence.
Not for long, anyways.
By the way, just a quick reminder, go to facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage, and you can watch us live on the internet. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually surprised how people consume this technology, because we get like 10,000 hits, and it's just phenomenal.
Crazy. Well, because they wonder where all these words of wisdom are coming from.
Definitely not my house.
Pearls.
Put a face to the name.
James is with us today. James is with Track and Traffic magazine. I think you're the only Canadian car magazine, are you?
We're the only one that covers racing on a full-time basis.
That's I think that's a great idea. You and Greg are doing a great job. So,
thank you very much.
You just recently announced a relationship with the Canadian Racing Society, I guess CSOR.
CASCOR. It's a Canadian Automobile Sports Club, Ontario region.
So I used to be involved with CSCAs. Is that right?
Yeah, that would be, CASCOR has been around since the 1950s in one form or another. And they've been part of the Ontario regional road racing scene ever since, up until today.
Well, you know what? I applaud you, because nobody pushes Canadian racing, and we have such phenomenal drivers like Villeneuve and you know, Multimatic produces the Ford GT, and so much racing goes on in Canada, you never hear about it.
So what is it that CASCOR actually does now?
Well, they're comprised of member clubs, mm-hmm. and they hold regional road racing events throughout the year.
Right.
So, for example, the British Empire Motor Club will be holding their annual Spring Trophy races.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be coming up in May.
That's at Mossport.
So the people that work there, they're part of the club, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the CASC is the governing body.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hold they stage the races. They're under the ASN FIA Canada banner.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of their members also volunteer and are officials for events, including the Honda Indy Toronto and the Mobile One Sports Car Grand Prix at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, which most people know better as Mosport.
You know what I find interesting is most countries, it's actually the car club, like it would be a CAA. CAA would actually be controlling racing, but it's not in Canada. It developed differently.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, they were part under the wing of the FIA,
right?
Which is the international governing body for motorsport, which, you know, they run like the World Endurance Championship in Formula One. They've been associated with a lot of sanctioning bodies. Post World War II, there were a lot of car clubs that were set up. And, you know, over the years, they've grown. I think there's over 24 currently in Ontario alone that participate in CAC events. So, you know, there was a need for an administration to sort of oversee all these various clubs so that they can race under one banner.
All right, Traffic. Do you actually print a magazine or do you have a website?
Yeah, we do. We print a magazine. We mm-hmm. do 10 issues a year. We're currently working on our Canadian racing guide, which we also do. It's a separate magazine unto itself that actually has the schedules for every track and series in Canada.
So every style of racing as well? You do, like, besides road courses, drag racing is in there as well?
Absolutely. We've got coverage of, if it's raced in Canada, you're going to see something on it. We do coverage of major events, including, you know, like the Mopar event at Grand Bend. So we do the drag racing as well. Big dirt events like the Dirt Car Fall Nationals, short track events, including Jukasa Motor Speedway, everything. Front to back. We cover every Canadian Rally Championship event as well.
Oh, wow. What about the show you do in March?
That's the Motorama Custom Car and Motorsports Expo.
Right.
So that's a mix of hot rods and racing.
And they bring in all these American stars from...
And so what is the website?
It's InsideTrackNews.com.
InsideTrackNews.com.
Yeah. And we do a print and digital edition. We do a digital edition as well, which is exactly the same as the print issue.
We have a problem in Canada is that we don't toot our own horns enough. I mean, we're just sort of, okay, we played a second, it's okay. But in reality, like when you watch racing, if you go up and watch a regional race, it's actually good racing. And they're nice people. You walk around, talk to them. They just have a great time. I used to do it for years until my divorce. No, not really.
I mean, absolutely. There's a lot of do-it-yourself people at the regional level. You also kind of get a glimpse of a lot of talented people, like younger people that are moving up through the sport.
Yes.
You know, James Hinchcliffe has competed there, Paul Tracy, Scott Goodyear.
Yep.
Ron Fellows, obviously, who's still involved with the sport. He's at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. It's just there's a nice mix of young, old, veteran people moving up the racing ladder. There's a little bit for everyone. You know, there's guys who race like full-bodied stock cars. They're down all the way to, you know, almost street stock Honda Civics, and there's a wide mix of cars.
And some of,
there's a little bit of something for everyone.
And some of these clubs actually do sponsor events where amateurs or people can bring their own vehicles on the track.
Oh yeah, like the British Auto Racing Club. They do touring trophy races in the summer. British Empire Motor Club. They have two races. They do the spring trophy races, which kick off the regional road racing season in Ontario. And as well as the Indian Summer Trophy races. And then on top of that, CAC also does Time Attack, which is a time lapping event. So you're not racing against other cars on track. You're racing against time. And as well as Auto Slalom, which is a really good entry-level way for people to get involved in the racing without the high speeds and high costs. And then on top of that, in the winter, they do ice racing in Minden, Ontario.
Actually, James, you may not know this because Dave is so humble, but he holds the track record where he goes.
At Cayuga.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What did you do that in?
Well, we'll have to tell you. We went over and we said, what was the record for a smart car at your racetrack? And he looked at me and he said, zero.
They didn't have one yet.
There you go.
So Dave holds that distinction
now.
Actually,
my son does. He was 3 seconds faster. Good stuff. Great. James, thank you. It's Track and Traffic Magazine. Website is?
Yeah, it's Inside Track News, Motorsport News. And you can check us out at InsideTrackNews.com. And if you'd like to subscribe for our print or digital publication, you can go to InsideTrack.mysub.ca.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, it's good stuff. I heard he said Time Attack. So
we
want to find out more about that because we do that.
Yes.
Alrighty, good stuff. When we come back, Terry O'Keefe's going to be on the phone. We're going to be talking about somebody who's just plain stupid.
They're going backwards a lot. I can turn back time.
Yeah.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, this is Dave's Corner Garage, and with us on the phone is Terry O'Keefe from OMVIC, which is the Ontario Motor Vehicle Industry Council. They actually regulate the car sales, new and used, in Ontario. Terry, we have a guy that you charged again after laying 34 charges against him for turning back speedometers, and he was charged for doing the same thing all over again. My opinion is he was just trying to get rid of old stock.
I hope you're right, but I fear you're not. Yeah, no, this guy, his name's Arif Syed. He lives in Markham, and as you mentioned, I think the last time we spoke, actually, we talked about him. We had just charged him with 34 counts related to illegal vehicle sales and misrepresentation, and the misrepresentation was related to the fact that all the vehicles that he sold were allegedly rolled back. And didn't we just a few weeks ago get a phone call from a consumer saying, yeah, there's this guy, and I've got this concern, and so we investigated, and indeed it was the same gentleman. And so we actually sent in an undercover investigator to try and buy a car from him. The one that our investigator looked at was he had a 2010 Camry advertised for sale. The ad said the car had 155. When the investigator saw the car, the odometer read 155, but that car was sold earlier this year, and it had over 217,000 kilometers.
Wow. Wow. So this is, we were talking off the record here that this sometimes is professionals, people that'll do this for them. You pay a small amount of money and they just spin them for you and away you go.
Well, it's unfortunately true. There's a lot of people out there that are, unscrupulous. They'll roll back the odometer on your vehicle. Depending on the vehicle, it'll cost you a few hundred. It can cost you up to $2,000 because some cars, it's a lot more involved. The odometer readings are stored in different places in the vehicle's computer. But there was just a recent report that came out of Quebec done by TVA, investigative journalists there, and they found that organized crime had actually moved into this area, and they were selling territories, basically franchises, and you'd be the person who would roll back odometers in that area, and these territories were being sold, again, allegedly, for $450,000.
Wow. Oh. For a 1-800 number.
But
a 1-800 rollback.
But the sad part is, I mean, a couple of years back, I went to look for one of these devices online, and within two mouse clicks, we found one. So what's to stop anybody else from just going to buy one and doing it themselves?
Absolutely nothing, Alan. And you're right. I looked before we chatted this morning. I looked online, and it took me less than 10 seconds to find six different devices that I could buy for $300. I could roll the odometer back in my own car, and I found another gentleman who's willing to do it for $250, but he will put a sticker in your door jamb that he's rolled back the odometer.
Oh, really? Does he show you where you put it so you can pull it off?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Now, you know what? If we're buying and selling used cars, you get a Carfax, and the Carfax gives you the history of the car. So that's one way of protecting yourself from this happening to you.
Yeah, there's a few steps that you can take, and you're right, Dave. A Carfax history report is great. A used vehicle information package, the UVIP that you buy from Service Ontario,
yes,
for $20. It's got historical odometer readings. Every time you've had to fill out your sticker renewal and you put the odometer reading down in the car, that information is on a UVIP. But of course, if the car came from Quebec, there's going to be nothing on the UVIP because it only tracks the registration while it's in Ontario. You know, people should learn the telltale signs. The car's got a lot of mileage on it, suspension wear, upholstery wear, things like that. But the most important thing, too, take the car for a pre-purchase inspection so that someone like you or Alan can have a look at it and go, oh, 140 doesn't seem right. This car's, it's long in the tooth.
Yeah, things like the windshield's been all pitted.
Yeah, exactly. Cars, after a couple hundred thousand kilometers, that windshield looks sandblasted.
Yes,
Terry,
exactly.
We've got to run to a break, but just quickly I want to say the easiest way or to get the best protection is just buy from a registered dealer, correct?
Absolutely true, Alan, because if a registered dealer sells you a car with a rollback odometer and it's not disclosed to you, it's automatic rights to cancel the contract. We don't have this problem almost ever with with registered dealers. It's always with curbsiders, these illegal dealers who pose as private sellers.
All right, Terry, thanks for taking the time. Have yourself a great long weekend.
And you, thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks so much. OMVIC's available at omvic.ca. If you want more information, it's omvic.on.ca.
Find out the good guys and the bad guys. This is Dave's Corner Garage. With three good guys right here in the studio.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
All righty, it's Dave's Corner Garage you're listening to. And my name is Dave Redinger, by the way. I'm with Darren Bossens from Salem Tires, and we have a question for you. And Alan Gelman's here from
Glen Allen Motors. So it's warming up, so you want to get that car in and get the tires changed as soon as possible.
Yeah, now's the time, right?
Exactly.
Okay, we have a question from Julius from Cambridge asking Salen tire availability. Julius, what's your question? Salen tire
availability? Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
After hearing Salen tires being advertised on your show a lot, sounds really good. And after figuring out how to spell Salen, I found a dealer online.
It's just how it sounds, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just sailing along the breeze.
The dealer in Cambridge, unfortunately, I went there and I said I'm looking for Salen tires. And I was really surprised. Two out of three guys behind the counter couldn't jump up out of their seats quick enough to direct me towards a different tire brand. And I just didn't feel comfortable buying there.
Well, were they trying to put you into a more expensive tire?
Well, yeah, but they showed me it wasn't all that much more expensive. It was made not overseas, made here. But it bothered me that you guys are doing so much work to advertise these tires. They sound like good tires. And
they absolutely are. I mean, I have them on my own vehicle.
I actually race them.
Well, so I went online and I thought, well, I'm going to talk to the head office here. And the closest I could find is some number in Burlington or Oakville. I spoke to someone there who told me about different dealers with Salen tires. But after talking to her for a couple of minutes, she even brought up a different brand name. So
is that competition? Is that normal?
I'm kind of
left
in the lurch here.
Yeah, that you see, that's typical. Like we've said before on the show, that typical dealers aren't necessarily looking to sell you what's the best for your car. They're trying to sell what's best for them, as far as whether it be a margin thing or what they're trying to get rid of in their inventory. They rather sell you what's in their inventory than have to bring something in. That's typical. So we run into it quite often. And a lot of the dealers will use the tier three or tier four now to prop up the other pricing. So they always try to get you, upsell you into a more expensive tire.
That's, you know, similar thing happens in the insurance business, for example. You know, you call your broker and your broker will swear to you that they're selling you the best insurance at the best price.
Right.
But that's only of the product that they sell.
Exactly.
But this is why it's important to look around.
Definitely.
So how do you educate the dealers to not to do that? You can't
really. No. Like you can, you know, we do training, we bring them in, show them the advantage. We, you know, we did a fair amount of ride and drives. You let them drive on the tires and compare them to other brands. But at the end of the day, like I said, it comes down to what's in their inventory, what the boss is trying to move. That's what I said. You've got to be somewhat educated.
I have the solution, you know. You have to open Salen tire stores.
Yeah, I know.
No, but a similar thing happens in the department store. I mean, you know, there are shoes that are cost $500 and shoes that are on the bargain rack for $50.
Yep.
You know, but you have a budget in mind. You know, what's your intention? Are, you know, you're going to a fancy ball that night, or is it, you know, just want them to wear it to the tennis court? So, the same kind of thing with the tires. A lot of people don't realize now that the 19-inch wheels and tires that come on cars are crazy money.
I mean, they're not cheap.
When you buy the car, the salesman doesn't advertise the fact that when the time comes, my friend, to change these tires.
And it'll come quicker now with the low profile, because, you know, the typically more high performance tires. Yeah. You know,
sure, absolutely. And thousands of dollars. And they're softer too. So, but Salen does with this, in fact, with the new tire, the Aspire, that you have come in 19-inch sizes as well.
Yep. No, and then, like I said, you don't have to blow the bank out to buy these things, right?
Yeah, because the 19-inch in the upper tier, again, will bring a tear to your eye. I mean, those tires could be $250 each one. No problem.
Oh, are you kidding? Easily. I had to buy tires for the Crossfire. It was $600 for one tire. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. It was a 19-inch 235 40 series. Yeah.
Wow. Get the violin
$600.
Out. Get the violin out, eh?
Yeah, and I had to have it.
So you sold the car.
As tears go by.
No, it was stuck on the side of the road.
Oh, okay. I had no choice.
If it wasn't stuck, it was only $500.
You can buy four Jeepies for less than that.
That's
right,
exactly.
This is Dave's Short Garage. Got a few minutes left. We'll be back with your calls.
Yeah, we'll go to Wayne next in Dundas. Alrighty, without further ado, let's talk to Wayne in Dundas, who's been holding on. I apologize, Wayne, but we just couldn't get to you. You have a transmission problem with your Ford Ranger.
I have issues with Rangers, yes. I've had them for 20-some years already.
Yeah.
25.
They're coming back.
Number one, the rear axle bearings keep wearing out.
Right.
Number two, the transmission gave me an issue once with a 94.
Mm-hmm.
And then the issue the other day was the antifreeze started to disappear on me. after 4 years. It's a 2011. I bought it 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the antifreeze sounds like you might have a blown head gasket.
Well, I'm wondering, I heard years ago that they had an issue with the head gasket and the V part of the engine being an issue.
Well, have anybody looked at the vehicle yet?
Not at all.
No. Okay. So just typically, I mean, you got to look for a leak, first of all. That would be the first thing to crop up. I mean, and you would actually see it on the ground, or you would smell it when you approach the car when it's warm.
Okay. Yeah. No issues with the antifreeze dripping. I was under it last weekend doing an oil change.
Okay.
No issue there.
Does it smell funny when the exhaust is on?
What's that?
When you smell the exhaust, does it smell like burnt hair?
No, I haven't really noticed that. I never rode around the truck. I start up and I drive away.
Mm. Yeah.
So did you topped it up and then you found that the level disappeared again?
No, I haven't checked it the last couple of days.
All right. The issue could be that you may not have an issue. Sometimes they do just vent out a little bit of antifreeze over the time. But if it's using antifreeze, that means it's going somewhere and it's usually burning it. So what you're going to have to do is pressure test the system and see if you have a leak somewhere or if the pressure is increasing. In other words, it's not holding 16 pounds, but it's actually moving up to 30 pounds.
Yeah, there's a lot of parts in the system. You've got a water pump. You've got the pressurized rad cap. You've got the radiator itself. You've got hoses. You've got electric fans. So there's a number of different areas that it could possibly be. And didn't trigger a check engine light at all?
No, there's been no issues with lights or anything like that.
So the only thing
it's just a start. My 94 had an issue. I lost the engine because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just the beginning on this one, I believe.
Well, it's something you're going to have to
investigate. I would get it checked out sooner rather than later, because if it is a head gasket issue and you don't address it, you could end up blowing the whole engine, now it's still fixable.
When we used to have emission tests, we used to take the emission wand and put it into the radiator and see if you got exhaust gases coming out of there. Which you shouldn't find any, right. So, but we don't have emission tests anymore.
No, but but a lot of shops have. We have a special thing. I don't know who makes it, but Snap-on Tools sells it. It's a device that is exactly looking for that. It's a chemical you put into a container, and you let the rad bubble it. And once if it's got exhaust gases in there, it will turn the fluid purple, I think.
Yeah, that's right. You know, other problems that you're talking about are just normal wear and tear items. They're not issues with the truck. It's just things wear out.
Yeah, I mean, radiators plug up, they leak. Water pumps do fail after a period of time. Hoses will deteriorate, and you got to have them done.
It's interesting he only buys one brand.
The other thing, you mean, why does he keep buying the same one? Yeah. Is that a problem with it?
He knows them.
It's exactly right. People buy sometimes cars that don't fit them.
Yes.
So maybe he's comfortable in this car, and that's why he's always buying Rangers.
Oh, are you like the Corvette you were talking about?
Yeah. The Corvette, you can get in it really easy, but you need a rope to get out of it.
You can't get out. Why would you want to get out anyways, Dave?
That's true. Ashes are a nice driving car, but it hits every bump on the road. You know exactly.
For sure it does.
If I drove over a quarter, I knew it was heads or tails.
Yeah.
But they have the new one coming out. It's going to be mid-engine.
Mid-engine,
That's going to be
very interesting.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. But tell you, they're going to complain how hot it is. Because you got the engine like 6 inches from behind your head.
Just drive faster with the windows down.
I love it. I love it. Anyways, Salem's actually doing very well, touch wood.
Yes.
We're really surprised how well it does do. So your biggest competition is actually the other tire manufacturers.
Yeah, well, for sure. Like there's a lot of people in the tier three. There's a lot of brands in that
more
space.
And more now than there was before.
Every new ones every week. So.
And we were talking before about buying a tire is a grudge purchase. Nobody actually ever budgets for it.
No.
And I really don't get excited about buying tires.
Well, it's almost like any car repair, really.
It's a grudge purchase.
Much. Yeah.
I equate it to a roof on the house. Like, you need it to protect your investment and to, you know, you can't sell a house with a leaky roof.
That's right.
But you don't get any money for buying a new roof.
I just noticed the towels on mine are curling.
Exactly.
No, but the difficulty is there, you know. But the difficulty there is to, how do you know which roofer is going to give you the best value for your money?
You don't.
And as far as tires, I can attest that Salem tires are great. I got them on my own car.
Yep.
The warranty's legitimate. I had a good friend of mine's daughter put winter tires on her car, and a week later she punched one, and you guys gave us a new one, no charge.
Yep.
The guy says to the roof, he says, I give you 35-year warranty. I go, I'm 70 years old. I want a goddamn discount. I don't need a warranty.
I only need 5 or 10, maybe.
Darren, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me,
Salem gentlemen. Tire, how do you get a hold of them?
SalemTires.ca.
Right, and they'll give you locations of people that do sell them.
There's on the top bar there, it'll say dealer locator. You can go in there. And
they, you know what? They sell out. So if you're going to buy tires, now is the time to start buying, to looking at it, because they run out of stock.
Right. Sometimes. I want to thank Terry O'Keefe for joining us, taking the time out on this long weekend. I want to wish everybody who's celebrating a happy Easter and Passover as well.
Yep. James Nielsen, thank you. And Canadian Track of Traffic is the magazine, so we can talk about that. Remember, next week we have Steve back.
Steve's back from Jamaica.
Yeah, so we'll be doing everything wrong. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I hope he's got an empty suitcase.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.